We were talking about the red letters, how the words of Christ, so many people say, oh yeah, I love Jesus, and yet don't even understand what he says, right? We have people who are kind of cloaked in the idea of religiosity, right? Oh, I'm a Christian, and yet really live lives or believe things that are really opposed to what Jesus Christ himself has said. In the last couple of weeks, we had talked about how the Pharisees, right, were clashing with Jesus. And finally, Jesus, we went with that series, what? Woe to you, right? He rebukes them for the rejection of him, as Gloria reminded us this morning. Look, there's only two choices. You accept Jesus or you don't, right? And there's no middle ground, because you have to accept him. By not, you automatically reject him. You know, we all know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? But the next verse is, but God didn't come into this world to condemn the world. Why? Because the world's already condemned. The world is already on its way to hell. And unless you depart and are drawn to God and you take him and accept him, there's a place called hell. And once again, going through Matthew, you know who talks about hell more than anyone else? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. So Jesus is here. We're getting towards the end of his ministry on earth, right? And the disciples here are getting excited because here's the Messiah, right? The crowds are gathering. Oh, wow. And someday they expect Jesus to declare himself the Messiah, the King, and in that, push out Rome, and Israel will be free. And so that starts off in verse 1 in chapter 24. It says, when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all the things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. There's a couple of things you need to realize. Here they are in Jerusalem, and here is the temple, this gorgeous building, right, where time and time again Israel came to offer sacrifices, to worship God. That's where God was. Within there was the altar in which your sins were forgiven. That in there, you know, priests went once a year into the Holies of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the very presence of God was supposed to be. How exciting it is. You know, I look forward to getting together, right, in church. Getting together with God's people to worship. You know, God heavens is the praises of the people, he says, right? That there is something special. You know, I can go home and sing by myself and God's, yeah, God, right? But when we're together as God's people, rejoice together, celebrate together, there's something special that takes place. And for the Jews, they're like, this is it. The temple was the center of all religious life. They weren't allowed to offer sacrifices off other places. It was in the temple. And Jesus tells them here, there's going to be a day when all this is going to be gone. All this is going to be gone. And it's interesting because this really offended the Jews. Actually, we turn around through in John chapter 2. It says, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Right? You're saying you're a Messiah, declaring yourself as God. What proof do you have? Right? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. Then the Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple. You will rise it up in 3 days? It's interesting because oftentimes Jesus is speaking spiritual truths, but we can't get past the physical. Right? And so he's talking about the temple, and actually John tells us, and he was speaking of what? He's talking about his body. So it's interesting that Jesus likens his body to the temple. Right? The temple was where we're supposed to go worship. But guess what? Now we have God in our presence. Emmanuel, God with who? Us. And we have that fellowship with him. We don't have to go to a place. And actually, God showed that by destroying the temple in 70 AD. The temple was destroyed. One of these days on our bucket list, I'd love to go to Israel. Has anyone gone to Israel? Okay. I'm going to be deeply jealous this morning. I want to go there. I was reading a commentary. They said, out there right now, where the mount is at, right, where the temple was, there's no stones. All the stones have been pushed over. These huge stones have been pushed over. There's nothing left of the temple. And what we saw in Judaism kind of fell apart. They had to recreate themselves because the place of worship was gone. The place of God was gone. But Jesus says, look, it's not in a temple. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Actually, with the woman at the well, right? She was a Samaritan. What the Samaritans did was went up and worshiped on the mountain up by them. And so there's a dispute because the Samaritans were like, we worship in the right place. And the Jews were like, no, we go to the temple. That's the right place. So there's a dispute between the Samaritans and the Jews of what was the right place to go to worship God. And so in that dialogue, Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you are neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. Since you worship what you do not know, we know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus turns around and tells this woman, look, there's a day that's coming where it's not going to matter where you go to worship. Because God now dwells where? In us. And I think we take for granted what a privilege that is. Right? I can be laying in bed and I can stop and I can pray. I can be going down the road, driving. And I can stop and I can pray. Took the family out through Waterville. I was doing a lot of praying going through Waterville. Right? Like, whoa! Right? We lift our hearts to him. And I think we take it for granted. I don't have to go somewhere to find God. God now dwells in me. I hope you really realize the grace we have in him. The privilege we have in that. That we can worship him in spirit and in truth wherever we are at. That now there's no longer a temple that we go. Church here, this is not a... I would say this is not a sacred place. This is a place where God's people come and worship him. It is sacred because we come together to it, not because it's sacred of itself. Does that make sense? This is not like the temple. There's nothing, this is, you know, boards and bricks and plaster. What makes it special is we come together. And the Spirit of God dwells with us. But now the worship is now changed to Jesus. We worship him. And what a privilege that is. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's telling the Jews that someday all this is to be gone. But now Jesus is here. And he is the one to be worshipped. So in light of that, they turn around and they're getting excited. Right? And so in verse 3, it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Right? Jesus, when are you going to come and establish your kingdom here on earth? When are you going to declare yourself king? Because in fact, they believe that they were going to reign and rule with him. When all this is going to happen? We've been waiting. We've been following you for 3.5 years, Jesus. Isn't it time for you to do this? Let us know. When is the end? When is the end? I can't help but watch the news and see what's going on in this world and say, Lord, how much longer until you come? How much longer are you going to let sin reign? You know, I've gave up a couple years ago saying, what else could happen? Right? You feel, I mean, it seems like not that long ago, but I think even within the last decade, you're like, oh, that's bad. It couldn't get any worse. I stopped saying that because I'm afraid. Every time you turn on the TV, of what we're doing to our children right now on the governor's desk is a bill that's going to promote abortion on demand. For any reason, up till birth, we will have the most liberal. And I was listening to the TV this morning, and they had a political commentary on there. And he goes, I'm a pro-choice person. He goes, I believe that a woman has the right to do this. He goes, but I believe the science. He goes, I know that that's a baby, and I just dropped. You know it's a baby, and yet you think it's okay to get rid of it. How bad can it be? Our society is now mutilating children, all in the name of equity. How much further will God let? You know? I don't know the heart of God, but I find myself asking that same question. Lord, when is the end? Right? When are you coming? Now, I got to be clear because we're not talking about the rapture here. Just get you up to speed here. Right now, God is working, building up his church. And before his wrath is poured out, Paul tells us that he's going to catch away his bride. So I believe as Christians, we won't be here for the tribulation period, the worst of it. But we'll be caught up. But that's something that Paul talks about, right? That's not what he's talking about here. So you got to be careful because you go through the Gospels. Jesus starts talking about the end, talks about him coming again. He's not talking about coming back for the church, but he's talking about his coming back to the Jews and setting up his kingdom here on earth. If you get those kinds mixed up, your end times is going to get messed up. So we're not talking about the rapture. They're asking, when are you going to come and set up your kingdom? All right? When are you going to do that? And right now, Satan is at work. Does anyone doubt that? Satan's at work. He's running wild, and you ask what, you know, how is all this happening? And I believe that there are really demonic forces behind the scenes orchestrating this. I believe that we have leaders who are being really led by the demonic forces to put these things in place. I believe, and I said, well, wait, it makes sense. How is this all happening so quick? How are these things all so coordinating? I know even probably about 10 years ago, there was a reporter who says, look, things all be working together towards this one world government, of this one push of one religion. He goes, there's this big push of all these different systems coming together. And he did an investigative report, and he looked at all these things, and he's like, well, how in the world does this all come together? What is the force? What's guiding it? Because something is pushing this all for one goal. And after digging for like a year or two, he goes, you know what? He goes, I can't find anything physical that's connecting all these things. And he goes, I'm not really a believer. He goes, but I believe there's some hidden force that's driving us through. And I'm like, amen, read your Bible. And so right now, Satan doesn't know when his time is. And so I always liken it to blocks. Have you ever built blocks with kids? Especially little kids? You know how it goes, right? You sit there and you're like, hey, you start piling the blocks up. And you get about so high, and every kid does what? Knocks them down, right? It's like, let's do this again. And I believe that's why we look throughout history, right? And we're nothing new, right? Every generation has said, hey, Jesus is coming in my time. Remember, you know, Y2K, you remember that, right? Jesus is coming in 2000. He didn't. But the signs were there. You talk about the history bus, they talk about Germany and what was going on with Nazism against the Jews, right? People were like, oh, these are some of the pieces are falling into place. I remember in the 70s, have you ever seen this show or the movie A Thief in the Night? I wish we'd all been ready. How many? Okay, I just sang that for nothing? All right, thank you. It was talking about the end time. Remember, at that point, the barcode was just came out. And I don't know if I remember this, because I remember hearing a pastor say, oh, this is the mark of the beast. Right? Because apparently the barcode starts with a 6, there's 6 in the middle and 6 at the end. So I remember, oh, no, we're all going to get tattooed with barcodes. You know, then now microchips have come out, right? And we have all these things that people are always saying, oh, this is it. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. So we got to be careful we don't fall into that trap. Because what we're told is always be ready. We're told to always be ready. But I believe Satan is putting things in place. And the Holy Spirit, who is the refraining force, says, okay, not today, and knocks it down. And Satan starts putting these things back in place. So I think throughout history we see this. Always, we're getting close. And then, does that make sense? Until one day, the Holy Spirit will withdraw himself and says, now's the time. And that's what we're talking about here in 2 Thessalonians. It says, now we know what is restraining as the Holy Spirit, right? That he may be revealed, talking about the Antichrist, in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Right? So the mystery of lawlessness, the Antichrist, Satan, are putting things into place, right? It's already at work. We can see that today. These things are already in work. But then the Holy Spirit says no. Until what? He is taken away. And I believe that's the rapture of the church, because the Holy Spirit goes, we're going with him. We need to realize that there is a refraining force in this world. So it's not yet time. So let's get back here in Matthew chapter 24. So they've asked him, what are the signs of your coming? When is the end? When are you coming back to set up your kingdom? When is this going to happen? Starting at verse 4 in Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And we see this throughout this. When we talk about the end times, we have this warning, don't be deceived. Right? Because part of us wants that justice. Part of us wants things to be set right. You know, I'm tired of hearing about cancer. I'm tired of hearing about heartache, of funerals, right? I'm tired of hearing these things. And so I find myself, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm sick of hearing on the news. What now? And I find my prayer. I'm with you, but Lord, come. Right? Come. And so if we're not careful, we will fall into some false teaching. And every once in a while, someone comes up and says, I know the date. Up in Holton several years ago, there was a guy that came out and said, oh, I figured out the time and date the Lord's returning. And he got a following. Actually, the shame was a lot of these people, well, as the date got closer, someone went out and actually got loans and actually got credit cards and maxed them out. They're like, hey, the Lord's coming back. I don't have to pay this back. And so on that date, they were so convinced that up in Holton, rural Maine, a bunch of people gathered together and said, okay, Lord. And it went and went and went. The Lord didn't come back. And now these people are stuck with these loans and things that you have to pay back. Fast forward a few more years, and that same pastor said, oh, you know what? I made a mistake. You know, I didn't carry the one. And he sees he's coming this other date. And he actually gathered up another group of people. Be careful. Right? So when you talk about end times, I'm not an alarmist. I can't tell you, yes, this is it. I can't tell you the time. I can't tell you the date. I can just tell you what the Apostle Paul said, that the Lord expected him to come, and we're 2,000 years closer to that. We can watch and see the signs. Not to get back and relax and say, okay, Lord, oh, you're coming? I don't have to do anything. No. To work. Work for the night is coming, right? When we see these things, it should energize us to witness, to share your faith, to show your love, all these things, right? And we see this lawlessness. It seems like if you're one who obeys the law, you get punished for it. I'm going to get preaching here in a minute, sorry. But this is a sign of the time. Look what he says here in verse 6 in the first part of 7. It says, and you will hear of what? Wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Right, not only the civil unrest we have in this nation, but the world's going to become upheaval. And we see this all the time. But look at what's taking place in Iran. Look at what's taking place in Ukraine. The world is in turmoil. Right, we hear about the big things, but there's so much going on in the small scene. Governments are being thrown over. Look what's going on in France right now. All the violence, right? The world itself seems to be in this birth pain situation where we see these things happening more often. But we're told, look, the end is not yet. Right? This is, when you see these things, perk up, I think is what he's saying here. When you see these things, perk up. be aware of what's taking place. Right? So when you look at the news, I think it was in Sunday school, I think it was Cheryl who put you on the spot, Cheryl. But we were talking about end times, and it's easy for me to be discouraged. Right? I'm a talk radio guy. I watch the news. I have to turn a lot of that off now because it was just affecting me. I was becoming angry. I was losing my hope because I was focusing on the problem instead of Jesus. Right? Jesus said, this is going to happen. In this world, you will have tribulation. Don't be surprised, right? And Cheryl reminded us in class, she says, well, as Christians, shouldn't we get excited when we see this? Because it means the Lord's coming back soon. And I've tried to instill that in my head because I was like, yeah, when I see these things, don't be discouraged, John. Look up. He wins. He wins. I've been saying that. I'm threatening to put a little sticker above my TV when I watch the news. God wins. But the end is not yet. Right? And that tells me a couple of things. One, it's going to get worse. Right? The end, you know, as bad as it is, it's going to get worse. Read the book. As we'll get into some of those things a little bit later on as we continue in Matthew. But just be aware, when we see these things, wars and rumors of wars, this unrest, we see natural upheaval. Look what he says here in verse 7. He says there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Right? And today, they're talking about the food shortages that's taking place. Right? I mean, just a year ago, go to the grocery store. What happened with the eggs? Ay, ay, ay. My wife sent me into the store for eggs. Now, I don't do a whole lot of shopping, so I get sticker shock anytime I go shopping. Right? You know, my wife goes shopping, comes home, and my job is to say, you spent how much on groceries? You know, until she sends me to go out, you know, go down to Trocers and get a dozen eggs. It was like $6-7 for a dozen eggs. Ay, ay, ay. I said, you know, I'm like, I don't want the golden ones, you know. I don't care if they're brown or white, but what? But we're seeing shortages left and right. And we're seeing countries, and you're talking about this year, Africa and some of these countries. We're blessed because our nation is rich. That we are able to get a lot of the things because we can buy them. But so many countries this coming winter, watch the news. There are famines, shortages, because of the war, because of other things. And some of these, especially third world countries, are really going to be hurting, right? There will be famines, pestilence, diseases. Don't get me started on diseases floating around. Right? And we're seeing this. Especially in the United States now, we are seeing uprise in a lot of diseases that they thought they were taking care of. We're going to see this taking place more and more. Earthquakes, natural disasters. Watch the news. Now, I find it interesting because the news wants to hype this all about global change, global warming or climate change. I forget what they're calling it today, but right? They want to blame it all on that, and we're the cause. But I look at these things, it's like Jesus said, this is the sign of the times. We're going to see these things. Earthquakes and floods. Natural disasters. Especially if you spend some time, a couple years ago we went through Revelation. As you read that, what God does is doing those things to help people turn to God. And it used to be that. Remember, you know, when something bad happened, the churches would be full. I mean, you have to go far. Remember after 9/11, right? I mean, that's a man-made disaster. But I don't know about here, but we had people who had never been to church come to church. And people were calling out to God. You throughout history, Pearl Harbor and some of these other events, you saw people rise up and draw together and cry out to God. One of the most heartbreaking things that I saw during COVID. And the tragedy is that was we didn't see that. A lot of people just left. It's like, what's happened to the soul of our nation? When we come into these things, we don't call out to God anymore. But it says all these things are the beginning of sorrows. That's the New King James here. Maybe your Bible translation is different. And actually, I prefer this, the ESV, and I think NIV, and I don't know about the NASB. It says these things are the beginning of birth pains. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm an expert on labor. No way. That's how men, we get ourselves in trouble. But I remember, when the contractions, not my contractions, right? But you see, you want to see a man panic, have his wife say, oh, it's almost time, right? It's like, ah. Oh. And some women will have contractions for months. I forgot what they're called. It's a Bracken Hicks or something, I don't know. I'm close. I'm an expert at labor. I watched my wife go through it several times. I know all about it. I'm so in trouble. Right? But what happens is they become more frequent, right? And they get more intense as labor. And Jesus uses that illustration. As we see this world, what's going to happen is all these things are going to start getting worse. And they're going to happen closer together. But be aware, right, that that's not the main event. It's coming. These are all signs that the end is coming. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning. So we see these things. I'm not saying the Lord's coming tomorrow. He could. That'd be great. Imagine if the Lord, I wouldn't even have to finish this sermon. You wouldn't have to sit there and endure me another minute. The Lord could just take you home. Amen. Amen. Yeah, see where you're at. All right. We see persecution taking place. Verses 9 and 12, it says, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We're blessed because in this nation, we're not at that point yet. I mean, we're a little soft, and someone won't invite me over to their house, or someone will say something mean about me on Facebook, right? And we're like, oh, poor me, I'm a martyr, you know. We have it really easy. There are Christians today who are being killed for their faith. When we withdrew out of Afghanistan, I had a pastoral group I was part of, and one of them was getting emails or Facebook feeds from a church in Afghanistan. And when the Taliban came over, they had no tolerance for Christians. And we're getting updates every day of the church in Afghanistan saying, they're hunting us down. We're hiding in basements. And the last one came out was that they're coming. They're at the door. And halfway through this sentence, they sent it and never finished it. And the church was never heard from again. These things are real. Don't be fooled. Our nation is heading towards that. Well, Christians will never be persecuted. Folks, we are getting to a point where we're going to lose our jobs, we're going to lose our careers if we don't say the right thing and go along with the world's philosophy. I have a pastor friend of mine. His assistant pastor just resigned because in Minnesota right now, if your young child wants to affirm some other gender, and if you don't say that's okay as a parent, the state will come in and take your kid. You say, that'll never happen in Maine. I wouldn't hold your breath. For standing for your faith, people will lose their jobs. We could lose our children. I would not be surprised, right? And I'm not talking about just Facebook jail, right? I wouldn't be surprised someday, just for standing up here, for preaching the truth, that someday I might be hauled off. That's not that crazy talk. It's a sign of the time. And there'll be a point in which Christians will be killed. Right now, in the UK, people are being arrested for praying outside of abortion clinics. Praying. Not allowed. In their head. The police will come up and say, what are you doing? Has anyone seen that? They'll come up and say, oh, what are you doing? I'm praying. Will you come with us? For praying in your head? We're not far.
Persecution will come.
We have the lack of love. Getting close to the end here. It says that many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. That many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Many will be offended. Aye, aye, aye. You think Paul was writing about America now. We are so good at being offended. You can offend everyone for everything. Right? We will betray one another. Getting to a point now where people will rat out, will turn you in. Our children in the public schools are being taught to tell on their parents for their faith. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The word lawlessness here doesn't mean what rioting. It has the idea of, you know, robberies and thefts. Well, all those things are taking place. But because of lawlessness, for the Jewish mindset, this is for those who weren't obeying the law of God. So as we take God's word and are ignorant of it, if we know God's word and don't do it, what? Love will grow cold. We're talking about this in Sunday school this morning, right? When you reject God and his standard, then we are the standard and we can do whatever we want. And how's that working out for you? We call wrong right and right wrong. Anything as traditional, anything of value, we trash and mock. As Christians, we're the ignorant, stupid ones. And yet, what is the end result of that? The love of many will grow cold. Right? People no longer love God, but become lovers of themselves. The love of mankind, one for another, has gone. You know, I thought it was interesting that those who grew up in the 60s and they were fighting the power, right? They wanted love and tolerance, and now these ones are in control and in power now, and they're shutting down dissent. They're shutting down love now, unless you love like they say you to, right? All these things are going on in this world. People don't care about each other anymore. Neighbor aren't helping neighbor anymore. Where is the kindness that we used to have? Is this the same world that you grew up with when you were taught morals, when the Ten Commandments was taught in school, when prayer was in school, when you were taught to love one another, when God was placed first in the home? Taking all of that out, let me ask you, is this a better place? I say, no. Because lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. But praise the Lord. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this kingdom of the gospel we preach to all the world as witnesses to all the nations. Then the end will come. Folks, when we see these things, I'm not telling you this to discourage you. Not at all. Actually, as us as Christians, as people of faith, we should have the opposite result. We should see these things and say, Lord, you're coming. The end is near. My family takes a trip when my mom was in Minnesota, and we drive. And back when I was younger, we'd drive it straight, so it'd be like 28 hours. And we get up through Wisconsin, and there's not much through Wisconsin. And we get up there, and it's like, all right, come on, come on, come on. And you get to that point, you know, on the way home, going across New York State, same thing. Yeah, 95 across there, it's not, right? So we're driving up through, and it's like, come on, come on, come on. You know, and then you see the sign, and my mom was in St. Paul, you know, St. Paul, 50 miles. And you're like, ugh. Right? You get discouraged, and you go a little further, and 25 miles, you know, and you get about 15 miles out, you're like, all right, we can make this. Right? The kids in back saying, I got to go pee, stop. You're like, we're almost there. You know, we're going. I'm hungry. No, we're almost there. Keep going. Don't stop. Then I usually get vetoed because there's only me in the car, and there are more of them, so we end up stopping. You know, I friend to, you know, get A bunch of depends. I said, we could make it even faster if we don't stop at all. That didn't go over well at all. But when we see these things, right? Endure, stand firm, right? Jesus warns us this is going to happen. Christian, be encouraged. Because when we feel that pressure, we feel the persecution, when we feel like we're losing, praise God, He wins. Amen? Stand firm. Share the truth. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. I will stand on the gospel to the end. Take this world and give me Jesus. Be encouraged, because the end is not yet here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we see this world, help us not to be discouraged. Help us not to be down, but encourage us as you saw these things. And Lord, help us be found faithful. And Lord, we thank you that you are the one who is able to keep us from falling. Lord, help me to trust in you until you come. When the King of Kings comes through the sky, and he comes for us. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.